Good afternoon and welcome to Citizens March 28th, 2023 Exposure Reduction Committee webinar that is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register to convene immediately following the Actuarial and Underwriting Committee meeting. This meeting is recorded with transcribed minutes available on our website. For those attending today's session through the public link, you are automatically in listen-only mode. Chair Talmacco, we have no speaker requests today. May I proceed with roll call?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Chair Talmacco?
Here.
Board Chair Baruth?
Here.
Governor Hasner?
Here.
Chairman, you have a quorum.
Great, thank you. Good afternoon. We have a pretty straightforward agenda for the meeting today. I'd like to call for a adoption of the minutes. We have a motion?
So moved.
We have a second?
Second.
Great. Like to recognize Kelly Bruton and for the first item on the agenda.
Good afternoon again. On slide three of the dashboard section is the monthly policy data and estimated market share for Citizens. At the end of February, we had 1,193,725 policies, which equals about 16% market share. At the end of last week, March 24th, we were at 1,223,204. The monthly amounts, as you can see towards the far right side, have decreased a little bit. We're not at the peak that we were in peak season. However, they will probably start to go back towards that direction if nothing else changes as we get into the busy months ahead. Okay, on the next slide is a trend in new business written over the last 4 years. On the far left, you see 2019 total of new business written was 81,980, but in 2022, we wrote 571,375 new business policies. And that is where the bulk of the work comes in and the underwriting effort. And of course, the lines at the top show that the growth is predominantly in the homeowners line. On the next slide does show some color on the commercial lines. Commercial lines policy types are in both the CLA and coastal account. There's a row down at the first row down at the bottom of the chart shows the monthly new policy count. And last year at this time, we had about 35, a very small amount that actually get bound. It was 308. In February of 2023. We always like to monitor the building counts, which is right below that, 11,504 one year ago, 20,254 last month. And the exposure has gone up about 183% from a year ago due to the size of the policies, the number of buildings on the policies, the inflation factors, all contributing to that. And the Weston insolvency in September of 2022 also had a large impact, that 1,180 in 1 month. All right, on the next slide is the monthly in-force and projected policy count. It gets slightly adjusted as things change over the months, but it's fairly close to where we were the last time we reported this, in a range between 1.3 million up to 1.652 million. By the end of the year, the best estimate right now is 1,510 with a 19% market share. On the next slide is the dashboard. We talked about the inspections program and how great that is at the ANU committee meeting. The only thing on here I'll just call out is for FMAP, we did have a customer request converted of 11.68%, which is higher than it's been. We did, though, not have a lot submitted. Carl's going to cover these in more detail in the DPOP and clearinghouse reports on some of the DPOPs we have coming up and clearinghouse participants. Okay. The next slide, we wanted to put a few of, put a lot of the items that will have an impact on exposure reduction listed on this page. Flood insurance, even though it wasn't really, I don't think, meant for exposure reduction, it could very well have some impact on that when a customer has to buy a flood policy, and we will do our best to track that for renewal business when we can detect that as a reason for cancellation. The clearinghouse went into production in January for the changes to the renewal 20%. We are already monitoring that number. It's very small improvement, mainly just because there's not that many offers being made at this point. For depop, the 20% rule on depopulation goes into effect. The first assumption that we'll be using it is the June assumption. And we're hoping that we get at least one carrier is going to submitted their proposals to the office. And I believe that will be approved by the end of this week, hopefully, and we'll have a substantial depop in June. Secondary residents, Brian already talked about that. And then the competitive rates, merging of accounts helps with reducing the possibility of assessments. On the next page, we just mentioned the one-way attorney fees and assignment of benefits, which will also help exposure reduction. And then the claim filing deadline from 2 years to 1 year, and then from 3 years to 18 months for supplemental claims. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Kelly.
And the
next item on the agenda is the assessment awareness. We'll pass it on to Christine Ashburn.
Sorry, we're just making sure we knew who was covering which slide. So as you all know, there's been a, rightfully so, an increased desire to educate and provide information to consumers and, of course, agents as well on the likelihood of assessments as we've grown. And we had the Ian hit, especially in the personal lines accounts. It's more critical now than it has been in the last several years. We have created a new assessment brochure that will be inserted in new business packets, renewal packets, and pre-renewal letters. Just to share, while it's not live in the mailings quite yet, we do have copies of those finalized brochures to share with you all at the board meeting tomorrow morning. So we're excited about that. Again, plain English, hopefully easy for consumers to understand, and will help with decision-making when there are other offers or they want to go shop their coverage again, especially at renewal. we are also changing our new business packets, quick start guide, welcome letters, declarations pages, and acknowledgement application. Starting June 1, those are all system created and will now be highlighting, like we showed you at the last meeting, the assessment blurbs and call out of assessments more predominantly than currently. Same with the renewal packets, pre-renewal letter, new business welcome email. We're adding language regarding the assessments. Again, the renewal email, premium estimate forms, a host of website updates will be completed in Q2. The Florida Public Radio spots are live. They did go live about a month ago. So those are in rotation with our partner at FPRINT around the state throughout our contract that you all were so kind to approve. Again, evidence of insurance warning added, and then ongoing educational social media posts are active to try to do everything we can regarding assessment education, especially as we grow like we are currently.
For the record, Carl Rockman, Vice President of Agency and Market Services, along with the work to raise awareness on assessments, we also want to work exclusively with our agents. Our agents play a significant role in explaining the assessment potential to consumers at point of sale and at renewal. We launched a mandatory education program for our agents in March. The education is targeted at all fully appointed agents, limited agents, licensed customer representatives, and agency principals. It's a 10-minute module. We launched it the first week of March. Pleased to report that 4,458 have completed it. That's about 30% of the total. We have a 60-day window to complete that, so that takes us into early May. And failure to complete, there is a consequence. If an agent or support staff fails to complete it, we do intend on suspending their access to the system and potentially non-renewing their appointment with Citizens. We believe most agents will comply. We're getting great reviews on the material. It's informative, and it's really helping them live into their obligation to communicate the assessment potential to consumers. With that, that concludes this
Thank
portion
you.
Of the report.
I have a question on the assessment. I'm sorry, the agency training, is that at the individual level?
So yes.
The individual agents have to be
it's administered through our Citizens Learning Center. Each credentialed producer is assigned the course, and that's how we track completion and enforcement of the requirement.
Great, thank you. With respect to the
the documentation that's going out, the brochures, et cetera, is that, has that been socialized at all? I know it hasn't gone out, it hasn't been mailed yet, but have people looked at it? Have they reviewed it? Have you gotten feedback from agents and customers?
Have you shared with the agent roundtable?
We haven't shared with the agent roundtable quite yet. We have raised the awareness with the roundtable that we are intending in doing it. But I will say in the assessment module itself, we do bring great visibility to our intention mm-hmm. to change brochures and change things like the premium estimate. The module that we created, it was important to tell the agents all this was coming before it came right. So they could be supported in their conversations with the customer. So we think the assessment module does a great job of raising the awareness of the material that Christine's department's creating, and we're counting on agents to effectively implement it and support it.
Yeah, no doubt. I was more interested in whether or not the customers, when they finally get the mailings, whether or not it's going to resonate the way we intend and whether or not it'd be worthwhile showing it to a few people before we finalize it, if it hasn't already been finalized.
It has been finalized. We do work with a broad group of folks, including Jeremy's team with customer experience, Carl's team who has okay. the pulse of the agents and internal reviews. And a lot of the content was actually plain language content we were already using in different places, and we just put it together. It wasn't that easy, but we put it all in one place in a trifold and made it visually pleasing with some photo, you know, pictures tell 1,000 words. So okay. I believe it's quite simple to understand. And given the feedback we got after the survey, we did the DPOP survey regarding the lack of knowledge, we're really hoping all of these efforts will move the needle on understanding of assessments before they happen, which of course we know could potentially happen this hurricane season.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Is that it on that? Any questions? Next item on the agenda is the DPOP Clearinghouse and FMAP. Pass back up to Carl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to report our progress in the depopulation clearinghouse and FMAP space on page 2. Pleased to report that our April assumption is on the way. Edison and Florida Penn are participating. I'll be sharing numbers with you on that shortly. Also, a reminder that we did support our agents, as we always do in a depopulation. We like to bring the agents together with the carrier, provide support, make sure the agents understand the features and benefits of the other carrier's policy so they can effectively sell that policy against the citizens' policy. Currently, we don't have any applications for the May assumption, but as Kelly mentioned, we're watching and monitoring one carrier that has applied for the June assumption. We are anticipating approval on that shortly. That will be the first assumption that we do under the new 20% rule. And we're excited about getting that off the ground because that will obviously could change the dynamic in a depopulation once the 20% rule kicks in and a consumer, you know, has to move if that 20% rule applies. So we hope that that approval will be at the end of this week. There have been no interest in commercial assumptions this year. Maybe reflective of the marketplace and the other conversation you recently had. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue our outreach, though, to all Florida carriers. We're going to continue to reinforce the fact that this 20% rule now exists and it could work to their advantage. We've also made enhancements to our data file. Two big enhancements we've made to the data file that's available to carriers, our inspection data is available to them. This should give them confidence that the risks they're selecting a part of a DPOP are in great condition. And a new element we've added is paperless document delivery adoption. A lot of the new entrants are coming in completely paperless, and they're very interested in knowing if our customers have adopted our paperless solutions. So we've added that indicator that could also give them confidence in their selection, just like to select a customer who wants to do business paperless. We're now providing that indication to them in our data file. Moving on to page 3, we do have some updates on the clearinghouse. We have two carriers that have expressed interest in joining the clearinghouse, Cypress in May, U.S. Coastal in the June or July. And we also wanted to introduce a new product that we stood up with the support of our corporate analytics team and data engineering team. We have a new product now we call the X-File. Any carrier with a certificate of authority can obtain our complete data file. But if you don't have a certificate of authority, you can't get the complete data file. But we did engineer a file that we call the X-File. What it does is it allows us to share data with entities that don't have a certificate of authority. This is very, very important for new entrants, reinsurance brokers that are working with new entrants, folks that want to model the Florida opportunity. We now have a product that allows them to get that data and do the things necessary to see what their return on investment might be. We're very excited about that. We've already had some interest in it. We wanted to use this opportunity to share with the committee the progress in that space and also make anyone aware that might be listening just get in touch with us. We'd be happy to share that data. There's a privacy agreement you enter into, obviously, but we're very excited about that product and think it would go a long way to, you know, helping a new entrant better understand what the opportunity is.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead, Kelly. You were going to say something?
Are you asking me the thing I forgot to mention?
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, what's the difference between the X file and the full data file?
The full data file is the full data file, but what the X file does is it eliminates certain things that give our privacy and legal department some heartburn over sharing it with a non-COA entity. There are some privacy things that we really can't share statutorily with someone that doesn't have a certificate of authority. But we really, with the support, again, of our corporate analytics and legal department, have really brought that right up to the line. And we're very comfortable with the data that we're sharing. But it's much more robust than we had in the past. Previously, there was hardly anything we could give them that was of benefit until they got their COA. And you can just imagine with the interest in the marketplace, the more data that we can share appropriately, the better decisions new entrants can make. So we think it's an advancement in the right direction to help them with visibility and what the opportunity is.
Have we tested that yet with any potential carriers? Have we tried that yet?
We're about now to put it in the hands of some new entrants. As a matter of fact, we have had some interest in it. We're going to be seeking their feedback on, is it everything you needed it to be? But we worked a lot with our corporate analytics folks who do a lot of data modeling. And they assured us that the type of data in that file should give people confidence that they can do the modeling necessary that they're looking for in terms of reinsurance and other selections.
I think that's going to be super helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Before you switch over, I did, while you're on Clearinghouse,
yes,
I forgot to mention earlier the Citizens Reimagined was going to be the action item that we brought forward today. We did make an award on that. However, we're in the middle of a protest, so that's why it's not being presented here today. And our hope is that we can do it at the May or the July board meeting.
Perfect. Thank you, Kelly. Thanks for that update.
Okay. I'll continue my presentation by turning to page 4. In your books, you have just the initial presentation on the April DPOP. I'd like to share some updated numbers as of today. We have 26,335 offers out. So far, 1,086 have chosen to go ahead and move away from Citizens into the offered company. 12,840 have elected to stay with Citizens, and another 12,409 are still outstanding with a week or so to go. So again, 12,409 customers are still making that choice between Citizens and the offered assumption. And this will be the last assumption that we do under the old rules where the customer has an opt-out option. The new assumption starting in June will have the 20% rule. And moving on to page 5, just to presents the committee with the depopulation results for the total year of 2022. With the 4 carriers that participated and their percent share of the depopulation. Page 6 will present our clearinghouse report for new business. We have 7 carriers participating and plugged in, but about 4 are generally working right now in clearinghouse. And you can see the results haven't significantly changed. This again reflects the market conditions that are out there in terms of carrier appetite and carrier capacity. On renewal, which is on page 7, the renewal results still reflect the 0% or the 0 threshold for ineligibility at renewal. As Kelly mentioned, we're just now starting to see the 20% rule grind in. It's a little early to report on that. We do anticipate slight change, but again, we need a little more carrier participation, a little more carrier appetite to really have an impact on renewal. And page 8 will be the FMAP update. As Kelly mentioned, we did see an uptick in consumer requests converted to 11.68%. While results are the actual referrals coming through the system are a little bit down. We'll attribute that 11.68% perhaps to that new requirement of agents having enough appointments to participate. Perhaps that's led to the customers being more well served, but work remains here with FMAP. With that, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Phil. Anything else? Any further business? Any questions? Awesome. I'll entertain that motion. A second?
Second.
Awesome. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.